I'd like to reflect this morning on kind of the intersection of longings and worship. And longings are a form of desire, but they're a unique kind of desire. A longing is a deep desire. So if I have a passing wish for, oh, it'd be nice to, you know, pick up a cup of coffee or something, that's probably not a longing. Now, if I haven't had coffee for a long time, it might start moving to that deep desire. And longings are usually persistent. It's not just a fleeting wish or desire. They stay with us. But part of what makes longings so bittersweet is that they're usually for something that's distant or unattainable. So we might have strong desire for, you know, for the Thanksgiving turkey that's right there in front of the table. But if we're sitting at the table, unless we're, you know, maybe under the age of 5 or so, then that's probably hasn't reached the point of longing because it's attainable. We're going to be there very soon. So it might be a strong desire, but it's close. And so longings are, they're strong, they're persistent, and usually for something that's distant. And sometimes we may not even know what the longings of our heart are. Sometimes we are simply too busy to actually even know what's going on inside. And sometimes the longings are painful enough that we kind of push them down because we're not quite ready to face them. But I was wondering, I'd love to hear from you if for the longings that you're willing to share. And there's obviously probably many of us have longings that we might not feel comfortable sharing in a group this size. But what are some of the longings that you have? And they might be, it could be a whole spectrum, but what are some things that come to mind for you when you think about longings for these deep, persistent desires? Heaven. Isn't that true? Deep, persistent, and not yet here. To know fully and to be fully known. That many people would learn to know Jesus. Those are deep, long, persistent longings. Yeah, for people that we deeply love. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, go ahead. Yeah, more of Jesus. Yeah. And sometimes there's those deep, deep longings. And for people that we deeply love and we long for Christ's work in them, or there's other deep longings for relationships that aren't fulfilled. And so I'd like to think, as we think about Advent and we think about longings, I think these things come together because Advent is really the waiting for the coming of Christ. As we look at how the people of God for generations and centuries waited for the Messiah to come. You know, how long is this going to be? Will he come? It's distant. It's unattainable. And when the Messiah did come, he told his followers, you know, there were many prophets and righteous men who desired to see what you see and did not see it, and to hear what you hear and you did not hear it. And you see that repeated in Hebrews and 1 Peter, that we've received these things that the prior generations of faithful were longing for. And so why do we have these deep longings of our heart? Because aren't these things ours? But Advent is not just the waiting for the first coming of the Messiah, it's also the waiting for the second coming of the Messiah. And we're in this in-between stage, longing, waiting with these deep desires. There's a redemption that we've experienced. There's a redemption that we are experiencing. And there's a redemption that we're going to experience. And we join the whole creation in groaning for Christ to come. And I've been thinking, well, as you think about this in-between land where we are today, you can look at almost every good thing that Christ has done in our lives and realize that he's done it, but he's still doing it and will be doing it. You know, he's taken broken relationship with God and with people, and he has restored it. He is restoring it, and he's going to restore it. And we long for that full restoration. He's taken us from slavery to sin, and he's freed us, and he is freeing us. And we long for that full freedom from sin and its presence. He's taken our hunger and our thirst, and he's fed us, and he's given us living water, and he continues to do that. But don't our hearts long for that fullness of knowing him, of having all our thirsts quenched? And we could go through another 20 like this of how Christ has done it. He is doing it, but he will do it. And so we are in this in-between stage. And so what do we do with our desires? Well, first, there are desires we have that will destroy us. And those are just desires that we will turn from and we turn to Christ. But there's also good desires that we have, right desires that we have that can overwhelm us. And those are not desires to crucify. Those are desires to consecrate. We give those to the Father, and we turn our hearts in worship, and he receives our worship as we turn to him. And we have those greatest, best longings that are meant to be fed, meant to be nurtured. And in a sense, some of those are distant, but they're not just distant. They're also here for us today. And I'd like for us to together, as we bring these desires, together sing the song, "Come Thou Long Expected Jesus," and then we'll close with prayer.
Jesus, let us find out.
invite you to stand with me for prayer. And if you wish to and you feel comfortable, I invite you just to lift up your longings to the Father as we pray. Father, we have tasted Jesus, and we say that his life is, there's nothing like it, and he is everything, and yet our hearts long for more. And Father, I pray for the people here, for the deep longings that are unfulfilled, for the deep longings that may not even be known. Lord, together we bring our longings to you. We give you, we surrender those longings that aren't ours to have. We give to you those longings that you have given to us and that are not yet fulfilled. And we bring you our longings to know you and to be in your presence forever. Draw our hearts ever closer to you. We pray in Jesus' name.
Well, Ellis, thank you for leading us in those thoughts. May we experience longing and know where we can go to get them fulfilled. Okay, it's time to move into our smaller Sunday school classes. So the children, the teachers in the basement are dismissed. I get tripped up on these every time, I think. And the students may follow, students in the basement. For the adults.